everybody. Welcome to episode 567 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This episode is a Marvel Chronology episode, and I'm going to be continuing to talk about Secret Wars number 3, which is an unofficial crossover. And we already talked about Fantastic Four 318 and 319, where Doom and the current iteration of the Fantastic Four Thing, Human Torch, and the female Thing, along with Dr. Doom, kind of track down the Beyonder, and we get his origin at this time. I think it changes again later. I talked in the last episode about kind of how unnecessary I feel it is. Turning him into a cosmic cube seems to lessen the character a little bit, but this is continuing with that story in a couple of backups in the Fantastic Four annual. One of them focuses on Dr. Doom and Volcana, and it's an interesting story. It seems that Doom has postulated kind of the reaction that Owen Reese, the Molecule Man, would have to what happened to him in Fantastic Four 319. And it's an interesting story, I guess, a little bit of a throwaway. And then the other is the continuing story of the Beyonder himself, herself. And I'm not sure what gender you'd assign. I'll get to that in a minute. But let me talk about the first story with Doom and Volcana first. And I'll say that the first story was written by James Brock Jr. with pencils and inks by Mark McKenna. And then the second story is written by Len Kaminsky with pencils by Greg Capullo. This is early work by Capullo with inks from Larry Malstead. So the first, or the second story rather, as I said, the one that focuses on Doom and Volcana, is called Cast in Fire, Carved in Stone, which is the Cast in Fire being a kind of a throwback to Volcana and her powers. And we even get a quick synopsis in the beginning of Doom talking about how he found Marsha Rosenberg on the Battle World planet, and along with another girl who he turned into Titana, he turned Marsha Rosenberg into Volcana. She basically has this volcanic ability, which is really strange. It's not really plasma. I mean, plasma is a star, but for whatever reason, she goes by Volcana. So Doom talks about Volcana serving him in Secret Wars and her falling in love with Owen Reese, the Molecule Man. And then in a reference to Fantastic Four 319, we find out that the Molecule Man got his energy basically from the same source that spawned the Secret Wars host, the Beyonder, and talks about how the Shaper of Worlds and Kubik confronted the Beyonder and the Molecule Man and explained their origin and how they were the powers that they had, which Owen Reese was previously human, and you know, the event that caused his ability was really something that attracted some of the power that should have spawned a new cosmic cube. So basically what they were saying in 319 is the Beyonder as a being was incomplete, and what the part of him that was missing that kept him from becoming a cosmic cube was what Owen Reese had inside him. So Reese eventually at the end of that story sacrificed himself so that the cosmic cube could be completed. And that's where we left it. The Beyonder is basically a cosmic cube. So this story picks up right where that left off with, again, Doom recounting the events after they unfolded at the end of that issue, where he's talking about Marsha Rosenberg being very grief-stricken, and Doom thinking that as much as Owen Reese loved Volcana, he would have anticipated that reaction from her. And so the realization hits Doom that given the sentiment and how much Reese cared for her, that he would not have left her without some sort of remembrance of him, something special, maybe even a piece of his power. And Doom goes on to say that he would have done it subtly so that neither the Shaper of Worlds nor Kubik would have been aware of that happening. And so what we didn't realize up to this point is that Doom, when he created Titania and Volcana, he implanted them with some sensors on Battleworld so that he could always monitor and track them. So with this thought and this belief that Reese would have left some kind of remembrance, maybe even a token of his power with Volcana, Doom has been observing her all this time. And so today his patience has finally borne fruit because he saw Volcana in a fight with the wizard. And for some reason at the last moment that seemed like the wizard was going to win the battle, he flew off and left. And there's still no trace of Reese's power, but the day was young, as it were. And so we get the story of Volcana worried that in her fight with the wizard, she may have hurt some people. And there's a young police officer there who says that, they thank Volcana for running the wizard off, but she did do some property damage. And there was a woman that had to be taken to Mercy Hospital because of the stampede of the crowd. And Marsha realizes that that's one of her friends and persuades the police officer to take her there. But only after she turns into her normal identity and she has to put a gas mask on because she doesn't want the officer to know who she is. She's trying to protect her secret identity, but obviously in her plasma form, she can't ride in a police car. And then when they get to the hospital, Marsha realizes that she can't go inside because she would be mortified if her friend Annie was hurt and she's going to recognize Marsha as Volcana and it's going to be a big thing. So again, she appeals to the better nature of the officer to go in and check. And when he does, he realizes that everyone in the hospital is being healed miraculously. And that's when Doom realizes the power exists, right? Marsha has a little bit of a sliver of that power that the Molecule Man possessed. And through her desire of her friend Annie to be healed and not have any lasting effects from the injuries she suffered when the crowd stampeded, Marsha wants her to be healed. And so, again, it doesn't just affect her, but it affects everyone in the hospital. Unfortunately, one of the patients in the hospital is Moonstone, who, Masters of Evil, very bad person, very bad woman. And she's apparently in a coma. She's been left as a quadriplegic from a recent fight with Miss Marvel. She, too, is healed. And Moonstone being Moonstone immediately starts attacking, flies outside, sees the police car, blows it up, and attempts to injure the officer that's there. And Volcana, again, manifesting the powers of Molecule Man, turns herself into volcanic rock, which maybe she had that power before, maybe not. Like, we only ever saw her turn into, more of the lava or plasma side of a volcano. And that's kind of how she explains it to herself. Oh, I must have all, it's a volcano. I've turned into volcanic rock, right? She doesn't realize that she has this sliver of the Molecule Man's powers, and that's what's allowing her to do it. She's like, I probably always could have, it just never realized. So again, it piques Doom's interest. And through the use of her powers, there's a few other moments when subtly Volcana is able to use the powers and defeats Moonstone. And Dr. Doom, having observed this, does realize that it's much more than just Volcana using her inherent powers. There is something beyond it, right? There is the fact that Owen Reese must really have given her these abilities. So Doom thinks that, the powers that are displayed aren't immense compared to the power that the Molecule Man had wielded. But the fact that Rosenberg doesn't even realize that she has them, it's going to give Doom a chance to steal them, because he believes even a tiny fragment of a fragment of the Molecule Man's powers in the hands of someone like Doom, who clearly believes that he's so much better than the rest of us, that there would be no limit to what he would be able to accomplish. So I don't know if the story ever bore fruit, if anything more came of this, but it is interesting to think If I have any problem with the story, it's that it does ask us to believe some pretty crazy things. Oh, Doom thought to implant Volcana at the time he created her with these sensors and tracking devices or whatever. It seems kind of weird, right? Like, at that time, he would have had no reason to think that Volcana would end up with Molecule Man, and then he would eventually become part of a cosmic cube with the Beyonder, and then need to monitor Marcia Rosenberg. Like, it's all a little far fetched, right? But I guess it makes for kind of an interesting story. As far as the art goes, I mean, it's serviceable. It's late 80s. It's Mark McKenna. I will say that he does a good job of storytelling from panel to panel. And the art's relatively clean, and he inks himself. So it's I haven't heard of him before. I don't know how much other work he did, but it is well drawn, and it's an interesting enough story. The second story, Beyond and Back, is this is the one with the Greg Capullo pencils. This is much more tied into who the Beyonder is and kind of the state of the Marvel cosmic universe, I guess you'd say, because it's very much about what happened to the Beyonder after, right? And Molecule Man himself. So it starts off and we get a quick recap of what happened in Fantastic Four 319, and we see that the Cosmic Cube is in an incubation period, but as we're watching, the incubation period is over, and it says the biocosmic force erupts, and the essence of Owen Reese is no longer needed, and it's sent hurtling through the void toward a new destiny. But that is a tale for another time, because who we're here to talk about is the being formerly known as the Beyonder, who is now taking on a female form and calls herself Cosmos. She says, "I live, I, Cosmos." And we see Cubic is there. He says, "Welcome, Cosmos. Welcome to this plane of existence." And Beyonder, as in this new Cosmos form, is saying, "I remember you. You're Cubic." And Cubic says, "Yes, I knew you in your previous incarnation as the Beyonder, or at least the part of him that's within your memory. But you were damaged then. And, you know, you didn't have the full essence that you needed to become the Cosmic Cube. So, you know, we observed that, and you've evolved considerably since then. And it's interesting that you've chosen a female aspect this time around." And Cosmo says, "Well, it seemed to me that many of the psychological deficits were linked to the aggression reaction syndrome inherent in a male configuration." What does that say? I mean, that's pretty, a pretty feminist view then, right? I mean, it's kind of interesting to look at it in the perspective of today's political climate, but yeah, just blaming it all on being a man, right? That aggression and always reacting and wanting to lash out. So regardless, she's picking a female form this time, and gives that explanation to Cubic, and Cubic says, "Well, that might be true, but the female design is not without its own drawbacks, and that's why for myself I've chosen a non-gender identity." So, and Cosmos responds, "Well, that's great, but I'm puzzled. I have many questions." And Cubic says, "That's what was anticipated. In your previous incarnation, you had many questions, but they were in poor quality. Like, you were asking the wrong questions." That's what he's telling the Beyonder, formerly the Beyonder, now Cosmos. And Cubic goes on to say that, "And that's why I'm here. I'm going to begin your education." And basically the story is basically a tour through the galaxy, through what it means to be cosmic in the Marvel Universe. So when I say a tour through the galaxy, it's not necessarily, or maybe I should say tour through the universe. It's not necessarily a tour of the locations of the universe, but how it works, right? So Cubic says, "You know, let me begin. This universe has four dimensions, and it's spheres within spheres within spheres. And we're going to, you know, kind of look at it from the top down as we increase ourselves in scale. And I'll show you what you need to know, you know, along the way. And the first level is the stars. These plasmatic globes of concentrated cosmic life force is how he describes them, and talks about how they're really the source from which all other life springs, and shows how fragile they are, holds one in his hand, talks about how they can sometimes ignite a chaos bringer that feeds on stars, which we know is the Phoenix Force or the Dark Phoenix Force. And Cubic goes on to the next thing he's about to show her, and before, or they, I guess, because Cubic's, again, non-gender. But before they can, Cosmos says, "I sense presences," and we see a bunch of watchers looking upon Cubic and Cosmos, and Cubic says, "Ah, just ignore them. They're the watchers. You know, we've probably grown, and you have grown significantly enough to have attracted their presence, but they're sworn not to interfere. So let's continue our journey." And so this is where Cubic starts showing Cosmos some of the different kind of powers that be of the Marvel Universe, the cosmic entities and the more powerful alien races of the Marvel Universe. Talks about Mangor and the Overmind and the Unimind, the High Evolutionary, who's loneliest of all the Ascended Ones, the Stranger, who's a mystery even to himself. Cubic shows Cosmos Ego, who's the keeper of cosmic awareness that Captain Marvel has wielded, the Celestials, who, you know, race of almost godlike beings, the Mystic Triumvirate known as the Vashante, which we know little about. And Cosmos says, "Well, you know, I met a lot of these people before, a lot of these beings before." And Cubic says, "Well, don't be fooled. Even though you encountered them, they weren't the beings that I'm showing you now. Those were just shadowy reflections for your more human and less evolved self to really view, but without really understanding. Now that you've kind of grown and evolved, you're seeing them in their more true forms that you wouldn't have been able to observe before." So the Beyonder, the Cubic rather, then goes to show there's also darkness in the galaxy, the entropic forces where they gather and gnaw at the fabric of reality. For a better word, we'll call them the evil ones. And Cubic goes on. He doesn't really describe any of them necessarily, but we can see in the picture we've got Thanos, we've got Mephisto, we've got Charon, like a lot of the more evil beings of the Marvel Universe. And Cubic, as I said, doesn't describe them in detail, but says they're all legion, but they all worship a single mistress, which is death, the enemy of all that lives. But really, death itself is just part of the cosmic balance of fundamental forces, you know, the forces of good and evil, or chaos and order, order and chaos, and then introduces Cosmos to those beings, and also to the go-between, the mutual creation that helps to try to maintain balance, the in-betweener, as well as the living tribunal, who then is kind of the step above, kind of the appellate court, if you will. If the order and chaos with the in-betweener working as a go-between can't figure out a problem or how to keep balance in the universe, that's when the living tribunal will step in, the most supreme power that one can comprehend in all the universe, always prepared to enact judgment. And then outside of that, we've got Galactus, the ravager of worlds, right? Who's really above life and death and good and evil and kind of separate. You know, we know him to be a leftover from the previous incarnation of the universe, and really more of a force of nature, and not necessarily, you know, good or evil, which then brings Cubic to kind of the highest power, the power which encompasses all others, that he wants to introduce Cosmos to, and that's the sum total of all things in the universe, which is, of course, eternity. And as they observe eternity, they then kind of transcend eternity. They fly out of eternity and are in a realm of near nothingness. And Cosmos wants to know how this is possible, how we transcended all there is. And she goes on to say, even now, eternity dwindles into insignificance before me. And it's really showing that the Beyonder has evolved into this new Cosmos. He's much more close to what Cubic, him, their selves are, just something that's much greater. And Cubic says, we are now beyond. We're from the incomprehensible, we're on the incomprehensible featureless level where the untouchable Beyonders observe the universe. These are the beings that actually created you, right? Occasionally intervening in the universe we know to allow the creation of a cosmic cube or of a cubic or a cosmos. This is literally the plane of their progenitors. And as they cross the fourth dimension of space-time into this plane, what lies outside of that plane, even beyond where the Beyonders live, it's an infinity of objects. It's the building blocks of matter, quarks. And once they've gotten to that point, they've really arrived in the sub-microscopic quantum level where everything is broken down to its most simple elements, right? Because the quarks are as small as it goes, and they combine to become atoms, and then the atoms combine to become molecules, and molecules combine in many different ways to create life, as it were. So as they travel through that dimension, seeing these different quarks turn into atoms, turn into molecules, and life itself, they've come full circle. They're back where they've started from. And Cubic talks about what the universe is a great wheel, right? Like, we started with the stars and moved up on the ladder, so to speak, all the way until you get to the Beyonders and then transcend that and what's outside of them. And it's the basic building blocks of life. And then as they come together to build, you've come back to where you started from, on this little piece of floating rock in space, close to the point where the cosmic cube that eventually became Cosmos herself kind of finally finished its gestation period, if you will. So the question still remains for Cosmos, what is her place in all this? And Cosmos says, ah, now that's a good question. And the story ends. So it's to be continued in, I think it's Fantastic Four 351. We get the final chapter of this Secret Wars 3. It's interesting enough in itself if you wanted a quick crash course in the kind of cosmic ladder and characters of the Marvel Universe. But again, I just go back to what I said when I talked about issue 319. I just don't know that it was necessary. You easily could have had a story where cosmic cubes gain sentience. Obviously, that's the case with Cubic. That's the case with the Shape of Worlds. Why did the Beyonder need to be that? Couldn't the Beyonder just be one of the Beyonders, one of the, you know, the most powerful beings in the Marvel Universe? Would have been more interesting, I think. Because again, I don't know that this necessarily sticks. I mean, last I heard, Beyonder was an Inhuman, which does not make sense in this context whatsoever. But again, I did want to finish reading up through Secret Wars 3 before we move over to the Thanos chronology for a while. So, quick reminder for those of you who don't know what the Marvel chronology is. I wanted to jump back into Marvel. I'd gotten away from it after Civil War, and I'd read some things here or there, and I thought, oh, the new Secret Wars, the one by Jonathan Hickman's going to come out. I'll read that, and then I'll read the Marvel, I think it was the second all-new Marvel that started after that. But when I started digging in, it was, everybody was telling me, oh, you can't just read the Secret Wars, you've got to read everything Hickman's done at Marvel, because from the first time he got there, from the moment he got there, he was always building toward this story. So I went online and I started looking for Jonathan Hickman reading orders, and I stumbled across this website called the Comic Book Herald, which I highly recommend. It has tons of great reading orders, especially on the Marvel side of things. And the more I was looking for Hickman stuff, and I came across this Secret Wars reading order, which includes all the Hickman stuff, but also goes back much further to the earliest Secret Wars 2 and Marvel Superhero Secret Wars series that I hadn't read in a really, really long time, and I thought would be fun to go back and visit. So that's what we've been doing, and there's a link in the show notes to the chronology from Comic Book Herald. I really thank him for his hard work on that. But being that it's so long, and the next part of the chronology deals with Annihilation to some extent, I've never read that. And I just wanted to get away from reading Secret Wars for a little while. I've been doing it for almost a year now. So I thought it'd be fun to switch up to Thanos. He's a very popular character right now with his appearance in Avengers 4. So I thought I'd switch over there. I found a really great reading order, which I'll be sharing in a couple weeks. So again, I do encourage you, go check out the link in the show notes. Go check out these reading orders. Check out the Comic Book Herald website. It's a great website. And also, as I said, I'll be sharing the Thanos reading order soon. So as many of you probably know, the first appearance of Thanos was Iron Man 55. So that's where we will start. Actually, I take that back because we're not going to be doing a publishing order reread. We're going to be doing a chronological. So the first thing we're going to read actually is called Thanos Rising, which is kind of the origin of Thanos from when he was a little kid. So that's a 5-issue mini. So we're going to start there, and then we'll move forward in time. So again, keep your eyes peeled. I'll probably put out that Thanos reading order or a link to it coming up sometime this next week. And we have one more issue of the Secret Wars 3 storyline and from Fantastic Four, 351, I believe it is. And then we'll start the Thanos reading order. So you still have a few weeks. I always like to give you guys some time in case you want to go out and hunt down those the physical copies. I don't think the Thanos Rising title is really sought after. You could probably find it in trade or even digitally relatively cheap. So anyway, that's a little bit about what's coming up on the chronology and the reason I started it in the first place. So as always, I want to thank everybody for joining. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. I'm done with conventions for the year, so I probably won't hit the convention circuit again until maybe February next year for Long Beach Comic Con or Long Beach Comic Expo, I think. I may do that show next year. I haven't decided 100% yet. If I don't, then probably my first show of the year will be WonderCon. So, but that's many, many, many months away. Going to try to get caught up on some reading, enjoy the holidays, and just enjoy some time at home with the family. So don't worry if I didn't get it out to a convention near you this last year. Hoping to do a few different shows this year that I haven't done before, like Heroes Comic-Con over on the East Coast, as well as Baltimore. So always look forward to meeting fans. So if there is a show close to you that you want me to come to, please reach out, let me know, and I'll see what I can do. So once again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.